Amen. What a precious, precious song. Thank you, Brother Jackson. Wonderful song selection. It puts us in heavenly places. God is good, and God is good all the time. And we're so thankful that he's granted us this day in the house to come to the house of the Lord, to be equal with him by dwelling in spiritual places as priests, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the blessing we have as the body of Christ, those who are sanctified by the blood of Christ and set apart for spiritual use. We have access to our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we extend at this time our condolences to our beloved Sister Barnes. As the body of Christ, it always touches my heart. So when we lose our precious loved ones, I know a mother never expects for children to go before her, or fathers. I've heard that time and time again. That must be one of the hardest things that I could not imagine. You know, but our sympathy and our prayers are with you. Amen. And our prayers, the effectual body of Christ, that will be there for her in her time of need. Amen. Amen. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our God and our Father, which art in heaven, we rejoice in your spirit, knowing that your spirit is love, and that when Christ, you gave your heaven's best, your Son, to die for our sins, Father, and rose him up with all power and authority, the empathy, Father, the feeling of our affections are constantly before your throne, Father, knowing that your children stand in the need of prayer. We pray for the family, the household of our beloved Sister Barnes, Father, as you have seen fit to take her son, Father, to carry him away, that it is well with our souls. Be with her, Father, in her time of grieving, that we may be a help in her time of need, that we may be effectual towards her. And the things she asks, that, Father, you will grant, knowing that you are a loving Father. Father, be with the church as we all grieve, Father, at this time. And look at our hearts, as you know the hearts of man before we can utter a word, Father. And so we will rejoice, and we will rejoice in the Lord. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be here this morning and to be in the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We pray that love will prevail and that love, Father, this love will keep us, Father, knowing that it will keep us into eternity. Be with us, Father, as we come before thee with this sermon and in these offerings of singing, praying, communing, giving, and being taught the wonderful words of God. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, church. Amen. Good to see everyone here this morning. Welcome to the Church of Christ at the location of the Stony Island, 1600 East, 84th. We are glad to have you here. I'm Brother Randall Hall. I'm thankful for this opportunity. There are ministers, our bishops have given me to stand before you and administer what thus says the Lord. Amen. You might find in your, we don't want Satan to jump in here, so we might find in your bulletin that it was printed 1 Corinthians 3 and 13. I'm going to correlate that in our lesson of 13 and 13 because it's all the book of Corinthians to the Gentile church, and it's all to the faithful, if you read 1 Corinthians 1 and 1, to the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And so this lesson is good because it speaks of works, works that we should not boast about, but works that will be tried one day. That there's going to come a time when God's going to hold each and every one of us accountable for the works done in your body. But until then, God so loved the world till he gave his only begotten son. And we who, what's that? It's not up here. Or is this it? Is this it? Okay. Can everybody hear me? Everybody hear me? I'll just try to speak louder. You want me to put it on? Okay. This is being recorded. But this is going to correlate with, yeah, it's right here. Thank you. I didn't know it was in the pouch. Sorry. Okay. With 1 Corinthians 13 and 13, which is a beautiful thing because Christ has included Gentiles. In our lesson this morning, we were looking at how Peter was responsible for one of the first conversions of the Gentiles in Acts, the 10th chapter. And it was, but yet Peter, in his works, Paul had to withstand him to his face because he was, how'd they call that? He was hypocritical in his works. Church, we don't want to be found hypocritical in our works. We want to be found as the children of God, going forth as the children of God with the word of God to those who stand in need before it's eternally too late. God has granted us space and time on this earth with a reasonable portion of health, strength, and soundness of mind that we may get this thing right. That when we face him, we may face him in love.
And that's a beautiful thing. And so I'll read into our, as was read into our hearing from 1 Corinthians 13 and 13, the chapter of love, the greatest gift. And all, you know, those who have been added to the body of Christ have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. According to John, the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, the 5th verse, it tells us that Christ is the vine and we are the branches. And so as he, our God, lifted him up as his son and recognized him and gave him all power, we also should produce a certain fruit because we are connected to that vine, which is love. And God is love. And so we should reflect love as the children of God being connected. It's a beautiful thing to be a child of God. The title of the sermon was The Greatest Gift. And I have point 1, 2, and 3 here as instructed. And my first point was the race of faith. And this is a race that we're running. We find in the book of Hebrews, the first chapter, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. That's according to correlation with 13 and 13, where it says, now provided faith, hope, and charity, and most of all, charity, which is love. Faith is based on what? We haven't obtained it yet, but we're running towards what we hope to attain. And the gift of the Holy Spirit has directed us in this path. And it's given us what we need in order to stay this course and to be victorious in this race that we run. Our books of our heroes of faith are found in Hebrews, the 11th chapter there, by faith. And we read all that, but they did not obtain before us because God preparing some better thing for us that they without us should not inherit it. And so Christ has come, died for our sins, rose with all power and authority, opened the doors of love, the church, to save all of those who will come and obey. Isn't that a beautiful act of love to save us when we could not save ourselves? When we were yet under those, let me tell you, young people need to know now too, because there's a whole lot, Satan's offering our young people a whole lot of stuff out there. If you just bow down and worship me, you can have this. If you just bow down and worship me, you can have that. Here's your tablets. Here's your whatever it is, the latest fads or whatever it is. If you just bow down and worship me, I'll make you seen in the sight of your peers out there as being cool. That's what the world has to offer. And that's what, because they're young minds, they feed into that. I fed into that at that age. But the realization is that God says, come unto me, all you which are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Our young people in this day and age needs rest. And they need it in love. And the interesting thing about this chapter, this walk of faith, I'm going to start from 15. I hope we have our Bible. We have our Bibles with us? It's important to have your study scriptures with you because this is the word of God. Christians believe that this is the inspired word of God. That all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction and instructions in righteousness, the way we walk, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But he warns us to try the Spirit by the Spirit, whether it be of God. For many false prophets have gone into the world. So I pray that you will have your book with you, that you will read along with me in this lesson, and you will derive something according to knowledge that will point you to do the right thing and receive Christ and be entered into the love, the body of Christ, before it's eternally too late. The first verse of 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am noisy, it says, going or clinging cymbal. Isn't that something? And if I have prophecy, power, the prophecy powers, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, it says, but do not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It says love is not envious and boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, and it's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoice in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they shall come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. When I reasoned like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see through a mirror, dully, it says, dimly, but then we will see. It's important to understand God has poured out his spirit in these last days for us not to be lost, but to understand what his perfect and acceptable will is. And we are a work in progress, church. None of us are fully grown yet. We are working towards an end. That's why we're walking by faith. We hope to see the end in that glorious day, which we will stand before our Lord and receive a reward for our works done here on earth, for saving our Lord. And that's our diligent works. We can be snapped out of here in just a whip of a breath. Any one of us, in a twinkling of an eye, and that's how the Lord's going to come. Amen. We're not promised to become a full age. We're not promised. Infants have died, seeds in birth. Older people will die. We in middle-aged people, every day, the obituary is full of people dying. But to die in love is to live eternally, and that's our faith in Christ Jesus, that he will raise us to live with him eternally. Amen. And thus is the mission of the church, to go forth with the gospel of Christ, the good news, salvation to all of those who believe. And turn away from the weak and the beggarly elements of the world that offers destruction and a place that's fit for the devil and his angels at the end of this. This is the warning we heed. This is the love we have, that I have enough love to warn those and to send this gospel of salvation is for you, and it's for you now. There's a lot more to this lesson, which I'm going to get into, because this love we're dealing with is called agape love. It's not the eros. It's not the one with the sex and all of that, which the world loves to amplify and make you think that that's the end to end all. No. God has a love that he wants to exercise you in that will save your soul in eternity. An unconditional love. And I'm learning more how to love myself. As I grow in the spirit, I learn not to judge people, not to be so judgmental. We're a very judgmental people. Matthew 17 and 20 says, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say unto you, if you have the faith as the mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Have we found anything impossible in the church body of Christ? Something, a stumbling block that seems to be in your way that we cannot get accomplished, that we think is good and acceptable, but it cannot get done? There's a problem there. God says if you have the faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you can remove mountains and say, move. But he says, you know what? Some trials we go through in doing service to the Lord comes by fasting and praying. Do we pray enough in our lives? Do we learn how to petition God and go into our closet and ask God for guidance? Do we fast? You know what? The world offers you a hero, and their heroes are in man-made, in your face, created by man heroes. And we gobble that up. And here we have a Savior. If you want to see some nonfiction, but some realization, we have a Savior who came down, a God who came down in the form of a man and condemned sin and rose back up from the grave setting captivity free and has prepared a place for us of the church to be saved and to go into eternity with. That's not fiction, church. That's real. We flock to the movie houses for a hero. And your hero is right here in the scriptures. Are we teaching our children about Christ as our hero, as Lord and Savior? There's so much in that. But sometimes things don't move because we have not asked God or fasted or prayed enough. And that's just a fact. Proverbs 10 and 12 tells us, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. You know, our world is full of, in our jobs, envy, strife, and division. We think climbing the ladder is being able to step on your head or to use what you have in order to get ahead, to be hypocritical. I think we'll deal with that because our lesson dealt with that this morning in our class. We know what to be a hypocrite is, to profess one thing and yet be another, do another. I think we've all been there sometime in our life, but the world promotes that as a means to success or a means to climb the ladder or to get glory or to be what you need to be. And that's just a lie. It's love that covers all sin. And sin simply means to transgress God's law. We need to be in line with our Creator, the one that said, let me create man in our image. That's who we need to be in line with. Not man's creation of what he thinks you should be, but who God created you to be. And that is to reflect God in your life. The sooner we do that, the better. 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, let no one seek his own, but each one another's well-being. Is that what we're doing? Another's well-being. That's a learned thing. You got to learn how to do that, you know? And that's found in Christ. Because we're so busy. The world teaches seek your own. We don't say, in our etiquette anymore, we don't say, how do we put that? We go, if we're in the person of two, in the company of two, we say the person and I. We say me and him or me and her. It's all first person now, me and then them. And the world teaches that. Get it like that. Thank God for love, that we're in the body of Christ. Colossians 1 and 18 says that Christ is head of this body, and it's the church. That he is the first begotten from the dead. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Our fullness dwells in not putting ourselves first, but putting others first in the body of Christ. You're in a place, church. I want our young people to really get this, because when you go out into the world, what the world calls the real world, they put themselves first. Their job is to make merchandise of you. And if you perhaps make it through your exploitation, you'll be one of them. But if you're in the body of Christ here, look around you. Look at your mothers, fathers, sisters, and brothers. They're putting you first. They're putting you first. Not themselves. They're sacrificing themselves for your sake. This is where you want to be. This is where the love is. You walk outside of these doors, it's self first. In here, you're first. Why? Because this is the body of Christ. And if you're going to see love, it should be exemplified here first, in love. And this is going to, it's probably at the end, I'll just get to there, 1 Corinthians 3 and 13, because it correlates perfectly with this, because all of our works will be tried. Simple as that. At the end of the day. And the day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day in the sight of the Lord. So whether you're blinked out of here in 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, 60 years, God, still one day you're going to blink up and you're going to be in the sight of God, having to give account for the deeds done in your body. And so why not get it right now, where you can see the love? Tell you a short story. I've been out in the world. I gave into the pressures of the world at one time, and I went out there. It's nothing but everything they said. I inherited some property, got my property, thought I was flying high, had the musicians coming through, it was the coolest set in the world. Everybody smoking and doping and doing everything else. It all comes to an end because it's short-lived. I was so thankful that I made it back to the house of God where the love is. But when I got back, I saw those old faithful Christians that I understood now by faith, this walk that they were doing. They were there for me when I wasn't there for myself. And that's because of the greatest sacrifices that have been given our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is not some ideology, some philosophy of men in which we all simply happen to have something to cling to. This is no accident. This is God moving in force on the earth. His Spirit going forth, accomplishing what it was sent to do. And that is to save you from your sins. And it works. Romans 1 and 32 says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Church, we have to take a circumspective look and understand, who are we endorsing? Who are we backing? Are we approving the things of the world over the things of God? We're talking to the individuals who are the collective body of Christ, who have gifts that God has given them to be exercised in love as the church, and to reflect God on earth. Are we condoning things that are of the world and putting them before the things of God? We have to examine ourselves, because I feel if we weren't, personally, I believe our pews would be flowing over. Our Bible classes, our rooms would have to be four times enhanced. Why? Because I'm using my gift to the best of my ability in Christ Jesus to bring forth fruit as the vine now, as a branch from the vine, Christ, to bring forth fruit that is pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. And if I as an individual am doing this, starts with me. I'm not pointing at you. Starts with me. But if each and every one of us are doing that, then just as Brother Harris and his grandsons over there, he's going to double. He's already doubled. Three are sitting there, not one. Look at our families. Three, two, three, four, five. It'll start tripling, multiplying. And next thing you know, we have a full congregation again. Why? Because I'm exercising my gift in bringing those I know to the Lord. That's the way it works. One individual at a time in the body of Christ, in love. 1 Corinthians 8 and 2. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. Yet as he ought to know. The Holy Spirit, James says, if we lack wisdom, we ask from God. We've been there numerous times with that scripture. Paul told Timothy to study, to show himself approved unto God. He told him that the word of God is what? It's what he needs in order to sustain him and to keep him as a minister of God. And so when we look here, we don't know anything but what we ought to know, because we are the body of Christ. Christ is head of the body, the church. The head is in heaven. The head has sent what? The gift of the Holy Spirit down. The Father sent it down. And the Spirit has been poured out upon us in these last days to guide us into truth. We have the written word of God in its fullest sense for us to guide us in the way we should go. And let me clarify one more thing about the church. According to Revelation, the 22nd chapter, approximately the 15th verse, it tells us all that is outside of the church. We have to make a decision where we're going to spend eternity or who we want to serve. Turn over there real quick. Revelation 22. I'm going to start at verse 15. And read unto you what this says. Here we go. 22, starting at verse 15, says, let me see here. Here we go. Okay. Outside are dogs and sorcerers and fornicators and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves to practice foolishness. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angels to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descent of David, the bright and the morning star, the spirit and the bride say come. God's love is that you will come out of the weak and the beggarly elements of the world, because all that's out there is a bunch of foolishness. Do we like to bathe in foolishness? Stupidity? Is that where we really want to be and think we're some? I mean, I can't get that anymore. I couldn't stay out there anymore because there was too much ignorance going on. Club life. Everybody planning to do something. Ain't nobody going to heaven. And everybody going to hell in a roller coaster. Everybody on board out there. Ain't nobody. Everybody's going the same way. You know, the drunken friends, the get high friends, those who love to cuss. I ain't never seen so many people cussing in my life. They just had a big pride parade just yesterday. And I never, Lord, I'll leave that alone. Because the scripture, Romans 1st chapter, talks about that. When we knew God, we glorified him not as God. We became vain in our imaginations, turning the incorruptible God, liking the one like a four-footed beast and creeping things. When you know God, serve God before he gives you a reprobate mind. And a reprobate mind is that you're none of mine. So when we know God and have the chance to serve him in love, we need to get away, run from the foolishness of this world and get back to where the love is. This is love. We're not assembled here just for some idle Lord foolishness. This is the body of Christ at this location. Worldwide, it's called the church. Vocally, we're the church. That's why he said the church of God in 1 Corinthians 1 and 1. And the vocation was in Corinth. Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonica, all those different locations where the gospel was preached, and people left the weak and the beggarly elements of the world. The fornicating, the tongue. Let's be so mindful of our tongue, church, really. Especially when we drive, adults. It's so easy to find yourself one of them curse words slipping out of there. You know what I mean? And then, oops, your child is behind you. And oops, daddy, mom, did you just curse? You know, I thought that was bad. We didn't want to be, remember, hypocritical as we studied this morning. You don't want to be hypocritical. It's just a fact. You know, we need to be mindful. We are, of love that's going to be shown in this world is because it's going to be shown from the body of Christ. And it's not going to be hypocritical. It's not going to be something puffed up. It's not going to be, see what I'm doing for. It's going to be in servitude to God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We read 1 Corinthians 8 and 2. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing. He says, yet as he ought to know. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Far beyond what I can utter. A wise thought from Proverbs 10 and 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. In the Ephesians letter 4 and 32, it says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We're not going to be gossiping about the mistake you made or slip of the tongue or how you treated someone because you stumbled. That's not in the church. We forgive you. We embrace you and bring you to the truth, to the knowledge of God, how to that's true love. I'm not going to hold it against you. And I pray we're not found, the church is not found doing exactly that. Galatians 5 and 26, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, it says, envying one another. Amen. All to the glory of God. You won't find that in the church. You shouldn't find that in the church. And so, just like Paul withstood Peter to his face, we should withstand. Love says, I'm going to withstand you to your face if I find you doing that. That's the truth. All glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10, 24 says, let no man seek his own, but each one another's well-being. Love keeps no account of evil. No account of evil. I'm not holding anything against you. I just want you to improve. I want you to grow in the grace and admiration of the Lord. I want you to become a strong, fervent Christian. Bring forth some fruit to the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. Walking in Christ's commandments. It says, 2 John 4, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandments from the Father. It's a beautiful thing to see your children walking in truth. We were someone's children. And I know we do our parents proud. My mother even looked at me and said, I'm just proud that you're in the Lord. You know what I mean? It's been a long haul. I'm glad. I'm good to see you just take a little burden off of them. Each and every one of them, even as adults, your parents will be proud of you to see you walking in the Lord. Not to mention if God granted your children at their young, tender ages to receive Christ and walk in the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. John 7 and 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If we're going to know God, it's going to be because we have submitted ourselves to the Word of God. It's the inspired Word of God we have before us, the mind of God. I said it before, a book that points the way to salvation. It speaks of the doom of sinners as well as the happiness of believers. His doctrine is holy, precepts binding, history is true, and the decisions we have are unchangeable in God's word. We have what we need to walk in love and to have eternal life and salvation. But it's in Christ. It's inside of Christ. And so I plead with those who have not yet submitted themselves wholly in the Spirit of God, our young people especially. You need to know you need to be saved. You're old enough to know something and do something about your condition. Can't keep being mama's boy or daddy's boy. Under the Jewish religion, at the age of 12, they had a bar mitzvah and they call them men. Started given the responsibility to make decisions on their own. Even more so in Christ. You need to be at the age of accountability where you're able to reason. You need to be able to make a sound decision as to where your soul will spend eternity before it's eternally too late. One of the worst things in the world to walk out of here and get shot. Oh, brother died, got shot. All these children getting shot around us. It's a crying shame. But the big difference comes because we're all going to have to die one day. Did you die in the Lord? And we who love, it's our responsibility with every fiber in us to be sure that we introduce them to the Lord and give them every opportunity to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's what we're put here for. We can push them ever so hard on our educational field. We love that. They need to be educated. They need to know how to make a living. But even more so, when it comes to the Word of God, we need to let them know salvation is for you. And it's now. Because eternity, one day, each and every one of us will have to give an account for the deeds done in our body. And woe unto us if we have not manifested love by pointing those who are out of the way into the way. Whoa. I think I've said enough in this lesson. I pray that love will abound. And I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 3 and 13 before we go. If you'll turn over there with me. 1 Corinthians, you have your Bibles. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. This is all about love. 3 and 13. It says, let me find it here real good. And boom, boom, boom. There it is. The work of each builder will become visible, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each has done. Take a circumspective look. Where are you right now? Where do you want to be when it comes to leading souls to Christ? If you're outside, you need to be inside. If you're inside, you need to be strengthened and lead others to Christ. We need to step it up. Step it up at this location first. Be an active member of the body of Christ, a working member. Just as priests were each held accountable for singing, praying, communing, giving, and teaching, we're also responsible for teaching and leading others to Christ. What are you doing right now? Take a circumspective look. It's your life. I'm not judging you. God is going to judge you. Are you in a position where you can lead someone to Christ? Are you in a position where you're doing your best ability, by your best of ability, to make this location and to let everybody in this area know that the Church of Christ is here and they need to be saved? If not, just dressing up coming to church don't amount to a hill of beans. Man looks at your outer appearance. God looks on your heart. Sometimes we dress up and get cologned up and smell up and we come to church and, hey, I'm in church. That's your outer shell. Don't be a hypocrite. Let your heart be right with God. What does the song say? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Let your heart be right in the sight of God. And God is a faithful God who will give you eternal life and a home in heaven not made with hands by faith. Hope of eternal life and love. Love everlasting, most of all, love. You exercise in love. I've said enough. The invitation is extended. Young people, if you're not saved, you need to come on down front. Water's ready. Brother Jackson does the baptizing. You need to be saved. You need to be added to the body of Christ and make God, number one, God has provided this for you, so that this further degree of love. And not only that, just think how happy your parents would be. You have to go home rejoicing in Christ. The water's ready. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing means you're teachable and you're ready to be taught what thus says the Lord. Scripture says when you're baptized with the body, teach them, he says, teach them again. Why? Because they become newborn babes. And just as you feed a newborn babe the sincere milk of God, they have to grow in the grace and admiration of the Lord to become meat eaters. They're not going to know everything right away. But if you know you need to be saved right now, then you need to step out on that. That you know you're not saved and you need to be saved. And when you know that, that's enough to come to and know that Christ is Lord and Savior. That's enough for now. He says, repent. Brother priest spoke this morning in class about this repentance. Turning around from the elements of the world, offering all the world has nothing to offer you out there but a short life. This flesh will robe one of these days. Our young people are falling all around us. It's sad, it's sad, it's sad. But it's true. It's the sign of the times. It's gone on before. Scripture says when the Christ comes back again, it's going to be as in the days of Noah. Everybody giving and taking in marriage, all full of folly, doing what they do on the norm, until the day in which the flood came and washed all them sinners away. And only a few were saved in the ark. Are you going to be one of the few saved in the ark? And turn around. Repent of living knowing that you're not saved. Repent of just staying unsaved, if nothing else. If you're unsaved and you know it, don't just stay unsaved. You know what I mean? That don't even make sense. I know better, but I'm not going to do better. Do something. You're a man or a young woman. It's time you, I don't think anybody can prevent you from making this decision. God certainly can't. He hold back anybody else who tries to. That's the way God works. So if you want to hear and be taught more about Jesus and you want to live a repentant life and understand what true eternal life is all about, do you believe? Do you believe what you've heard, that Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God? Scripture says, hear, believe, and then repent. Scripture says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. In other words, this is the way I'm going to walk in my repentant state in Christ Jesus. I'm going to walk towards Christ to receive him as Lord and Savior. Hear, believe, repent. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Do you believe? Can you say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Can you say that? If you're not, if you don't want to receive him, you can't say that. He's giving you the opportunity to say that. And it's your opportunity is now. Hear, believe, repent, confess. And the scripture speaks about baptism. Hereunto baptism does now save us. Not the putting off of the filth of the flesh, but the answer to a good conscience in the sight of God. In the sight of God, by your obedient act, God adds you to a spiritual body and gives you an eternal home and shows you love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to destroy the world, but the world through him might be saved. Some are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. take a circumspect look. Do you? And if you do, while we stand, sing the song of the invitation, you will come down and submit yourself into the Spirit of God and be saved. Because his invitations extend. You know that.